I would like to read four short scriptures. The first one in the Gospel by Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Now in the second book of Timothy, Epistle to Timothy, chapter 1. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now the book of the Acts, for the other two, Acts chapter 1, we'll cut in at verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now finally in chapter 8, Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. Now we trust that the Lord got a blessing to the reading of his word, and help us tonight to preach the gospel from these scriptures that we have read. I would like tonight to speak on the subject of salvation. There's no greater blessing could come to any person than salvation. Sometimes people think that those who win the lotto, that they've got it made. But no, dear friend, God's salvation far excels everything that this world has got to offer. The salvation of your precious soul. In the Gospel by Luke chapter 2, we have read of a man who saw salvation. God's salvation's not in seeing bright lights or imagination, but it is in seeing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon saw salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul had a knowledge of salvation. He says, I know whom I have believed. He had the knowledge of Christ as his personal Savior. We read from Acts chapter 1 concerning Judas Iscariot. There's a man that had every opportunity of being saved, but Judas Iscariot missed salvation. What a tragedy. My friend, nothing worse could ever happen to you than for you to miss this great salvation. He went to his own place. We read from Acts chapter 8. Here's a man that enjoyed salvation. After he received Christ as his personal Savior, it says that he went on his way rejoicing. Dear soul, tonight, you have never really rejoiced if you are not saved. I never brought the light to God's heart until I was 21 years of age. And that Thursday night, sitting in front of a fire of coals, burdened with sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Word of God, was shown to me that when he died upon the cross, he died for my sin. I remember the first time after I got saved and trusted him, I looked in the mirror with tear-dimmed eyes, and I says, Bingham, you'll never be in hell. You know, I got peace that night, and I got a joy that night that I never had before. 38 years later, I've still got that peace, and I've still got that joy. Do you know what it's all about? The joy of salvation. The joy of sins forgiven. The eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. And we don't read of that rejoicing ever stopping. Now the Gospel by Luke chapter 2 is very interesting. Here's a man in Jerusalem, and it had been revealed to him by the Spirit of God that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that man knew that he was not going to die until he saw what God had promised him for to see. On this occasion, the child, the Lord Jesus, was brought into the temple. And whenever he saw him, he took him up in his arm, and he blessed God. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Could he have seen anything greater, anything more beneficial to him than the salvation of God? No, dear friend. He desired to depart in peace. That is, the charms of the world had lost its charm, the things of the world. He had seen God's salvation. He had seen Christ and that being the one whom God sent to be the Savior of the world. Now we know that seeing things oftentimes confuses people. My dad only heard the gospel twice. He came to live in the village where I was born twice. And His mother was saved, but had never been in a gospel hall or never heard the gospel in her life, and yet she was saved. But gospel meetings came to that village, and she asked Seastar to go. And whenever the first night she heard the gospel preached, she says, "I've got what those men are preaching. I've got that salvation that they're talking about." And yet she had never heard the gospel before. She asked my father to go. He was just a young man then, not married, about 20 or 21 years of age. He promised to go. 6 weeks of those meetings passed, and he happened to be in a company with two other young men on a Friday night, and they were going to the meeting. Well, he said, "This is my opportunity to keep my promise to my mother. I'll go with them." He went and he heard the gospel. Now, he only heard one word. You know, people don't take away sermons. To take away a word from the Lord. Oh, dear soul, tonight we trust that there's a word from the Lord for you in this meeting. All he heard that night was the word eternity. He went to work Saturday morning as a carpenter. He says, "Every nail I hit rang out eternity. Every step he took, eternity, eternity." And then he thought, "If that's the way gospel meetings affect you, I won't be back." But he was back on Sunday night. He heard those men preach the gospel. They closed their meeting. The following Thursday night, my dad had 11 sisters, and they'd all gone to bed but himself. And his mother saw there was something strange going on. She says, "What's wrong, Willie?" "Oh," he said, "there's nothing wrong with me." She said, "Was it something that you heard at the meeting?" And he looked at her in surprise. He says, "It was." He says, "I heard that word eternity. And it has haunted me ever since." He says, "I realize I'm bound for eternity." Wouldn't it be a grand thing tonight if the word eternity was written upon your soul, that you may face the facts? We are not here to stay. Life is a one-way street. There's no turning back. We're on the move. Every tick of the clock brings you and I closer to those long unending ages of the great eternity. She told him how she got saved, and she said to him, "All you have to do is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." He had his hand on the newel post at the bottom of the stair. He says, "Of all I have to do is to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "I'll do it now." And he did. Now, that's well over 60 years ago. He has lived all those years to prove it. And he's still living. But he got God's salvation. But then he attended gospel meetings. He heard people tell how they got saved. And over again he heard the statement that they saw that Christ died for their sins. Well, he says, "I didn't see that." He thought, "You must see a vision of a man on a cross shedding his blood for your sins," by the words that he heard preached. It bothered him. One night after a meeting, when he heard that statement, he went home. He got down by his bedside, and he cried to God, "Oh God, if I'm not saved, save me." And if I am saved, show me that I am saved. That night he was reading in John chapter 20. Thomas was missing when the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples. Then Thomas said, except I shall see, I will not believe. I've got to see it before I believe it. And he read on. The Lord Jesus said to Thomas the next week, the first day of the next week, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hand. Thrust thy hand into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Then Thomas had to confess, my Lord and my God. Here's what I want to get at. The Lord Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. You see, Simeon saw salvation with his natural eyes. 38 years ago, I saw salvation. What do you mean? I saw the truth that when Christ died upon the cross, he died for my sin. Is that salvation? My friend, that's the salvation that God wants you to have tonight. Is that enough to take and save a soul from going down into hell? Is that sufficient to meet their need for eternity by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what salvation is. Salvation is not a puzzle. It's not so many pieces that you've got to put together. God wants you as a poor sinner to give him the credit that his word's the truth. When God says he sent his son, he had a purpose in sending his son. Down from the glory, the Savior came. Down to the cross and the death of shame. Gazing in wonder, we there exclaim, Jesus died for me. If you were to arrive at the pearly gates tonight, in Revelation 21, we read that there's 12 gates to that celestial city. At every gate, there's an angel. If you happen to arrive there, and that angel asks you, how do you expect to get in here? Would you say, well, I did this, and I did that? He would say, the gate's closed. What is the passport to the realms of bliss? We sing it in our hymn. Jesus died for me. Would that be enough to permit me to enter that celestial city? My friend, nothing else will do but the work accomplished upon the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon saw salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ is salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Have you got the Son? Oh, you might say, I've got this and that, I've got religion. No, it says, he that hath the Son. The person that is Christ. Can you look back to a moment when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the great eternity? Simeon saw salvation. Let me read the Apostle Paul. He had a knowledge of salvation because he had a knowledge of Christ. He says, I know whom I have believed. As a person, and I'm persuaded that he is able
Paul had a treasure. That treasure was his soul. He committed his soul into the safekeeping of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't going to work his own way to heaven. He tried that for years. He was very religious, very zealous for his religion, putting people to death because of what he believed. He was going to force his religion down people's throats. And in order to do that, he even went as far as putting others people to death. But that did not save him. That did not satisfy him. But there was an event we read in Acts chapter 9 that took place on the Damascus Road. Around midday, Saul of Tarsus got God's salvation. He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Now we know what the name Jesus means. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." And there in that Damascus road, Paul had the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one he was persecuting, the one who was nailed to the cross, who lay in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, the one who was raised from amongst the dead, Saul of Tarsus saw him, and he had the knowledge that when Christ died upon the cross, he died for his sin. Have you got that knowledge tonight? You see, we always believed the Bible. We were brought up to believe it. And when I heard the simplicity of the gospel, many a time I thought, "Well, I must be saved. Well, I believe that." But yet I knew inside I wasn't saved. But there came that moment in my life when I took God at His word, and I knew within my soul I was born again by the Spirit of God, without a feeling, without seeing lights, without anything strange around, without any imagination. As a poor sinner, I took God at His word and rested my soul upon the work He accomplished upon the cross for my salvation. That's what Saul of Tarsus did. Now, writing his last letter, his last recorded letter that we have in the Scriptures, he says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able." You see, salvation was all outside of himself. There was no salvation in the Apostle Paul. It was all centered in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we have quoted that verse in these meetings. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Paul had a knowledge that Christ died for his sin. Where did he get it? In the Old Testament. Paul knew Isaiah 53. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his strength we are healed." He would make it personal. He would make Christ his own. And so he had the knowledge that Christ died for his sin. But we read of that solemn occasion, Judas Iscariot. He went to his own place. Judas missed salvation. Judas is in hell tonight. That's one person we know for certain who missed salvation. Friend unsaved in this meeting, there is a great possibility that you could miss salvation. Do you know of anything worse? Anything more solemn that could take place in your life than for you to miss this great salvation? Judas Iscariot chose hell instead of heaven. You say, what a fool. What about you tonight in our meeting? A man attended gospel meetings like these. The word of God got home to his soul. And then he stopped coming. Preacher went to visit him. He said, we miss you at the meeting. Well, he says, I'm not coming back. Oh, did I say something to offend you? No, he said, it wasn't that. Well, he says, why are you not coming back? Well, he said, I found out that if I kept going to those meetings, I would have to do something. And he says, if I had to get saved, then there's certain things in my life that I'm not willing to surrender for to have salvation. I knew if I got saved, I couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that. Oh, the preacher pleaded with him. And then he said to him, he said, mister, do you mean to tell me that you have chosen hell instead of heaven? Startling was his answer. He says, preacher, I have chosen hell instead of heaven. Oh, how foolish. What's your choice tonight? Are you choosing hell instead of heaven? Judas Iscariot had every opportunity of being in heaven. So have you. But God can fill heaven without you. And God could fill heaven without me. But he gave me the opportunity that I might be there. Thank God I took it. What a choice. The choice you make tonight in that seat could be your choice either for heaven or for hell. May it reach your heart and soul. May you count the cost if your soul should be lost. Judas Iscariot, while he had all the opportunity of being saved, it says that he went to his own place. The place that he chose. Ah, friend, tonight, are you choosing hell? How foolish. How solemn. I preached with a man on the same platform in the month of September this year. Every time I see him, it always reminds me of his daughter. One Sunday night in the city of Toronto, she sat and listened to the gospel. A teenager. She didn't think for a moment, perhaps, that she would never sit in another gospel meeting. When she got to the door, the man that preached that night knew her, knew the family. And he said to her at the door, he says, Brenda, did you get saved this year? She says, no, I didn't get saved. But my two sisters and my brother, they got saved this year, but I didn't. Oh, he said, I thought that you were one of the family that had gotten saved. She says, no. And she passed on out. Monday night, she was moving from one apartment to another. She had two cousins helping her move furniture across the city of Toronto. As they were going across in the car, she was sitting in the back seat. There a car came speeding up a side street. They were on the main street. But that car came speeding up. There was a stop sign, but the car didn't stop. Right into the side of that car where that young lady sat. She saw it coming. Her cousin said, oh, the scream that she made when she saw that car coming. Taken to the hospital, unconscious. The doctor came to see her. Who was it? The man that had preached the gospel to her the night before. They looked upon her form. He did all that he could to save her life. But that young woman passed out of time into eternity. I can't say she missed salvation, but I'm telling you the words that she said on the Sunday night. My two sisters and my brother got saved, but I didn't. And on Monday night, she was ushered out into eternity. And we read of the eunuch. He enjoyed salvation. Ah, he came to Christ. He was went to Jerusalem for to worship. But he didn't get Christ at Jerusalem. But there in the desert, on the way home, reading the scriptures, Philip pointed him to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed on Christ that he died for his sins. And he was baptized, and he went on his way, rejoicing. The enjoyment of God's salvation. Oh, we trust it to be your portion tonight by coming to Christ and trusting him. May you do it for his name's sake.